Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Oh, hi, welcome
what
to the welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. We are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge. They have 136 draft beers. Andrew tried them all tonight. No, he's not in Baton Rouge. He just came from Beck concert. But if you are in Baton Rouge, go see LSU play Auburn. Either Les Miles is getting fired or Gus Malzahn is getting fired. Whoever loses is getting fired after Saturday. So go there, drink it up. The Pelican House, they're awesome. 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right. Dave, the Saints are freaking 0-2. And the difference is 6 points and like 2 plays. Why does God hate the Saints?
Unfortunately, this has absolutely nothing to do with God.
I think it does.
No, I don't think it does. I really
God,
don't think it
God
does.
God hates Saints corners. You've got to at least admit that.
If there was ever a team that God would be really into, I think it would be a team called the Saints. But
we're from New Orleans, though.
Yeah, it's
God's
it's
probably fine with the Saints, but not with their corners.
The injury thing,
or their linebackers.
The injury thing has definitely been unfortunate, especially the PJ Williams injury on yesterday. Look, honestly, the defense was not the problem yesterday at all. I mean, that entire unit kept the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr., who we thought was going to, go fucking off.
I didn't think that.
One step forward, you take two steps
kept,
back.
They kept that entire team, that entire offense, out of the end zone for all 60 minutes. I mean, that's a pretty impressive feat. And they did it with guys like Ken Crawley and Devontae Harris and all that. So, I mean, that's the good part. It's the fact that the offense just totally shit the bed, if you will. They were just totally out of rhythm. They couldn't get in sync. It was very frustrating to watch. And I think the most frustrating thing is that you get a great offensive game and a poor defensive game last week. You get a great defensive game and a poor offensive game this week. And it's like they just cannot seem to put it all together and play both units play great on the same day at the same time. It's absolutely maddening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 1999-2000 Saints have returned.
And it doesn't have to do... That's right. And it doesn't have to do with God. This is they are reaping the benefits or non-benefits of their hard work or lack thereof during the offseason or good work during the offseason. And Kobe Fleener, Jesus Christ, that dude is on my goddamn fantasy team. I want to put a bullet in my head. I want to put a bullet in my goddamn head. I can't take him. I cannot take him. He's got.
My wife doesn't get mad at me.
He's got one more week. If he shits the bed again for the third week, not only am I going to have to write some article about how he's just a total fucking waste of goddamn money and yet another one of the Saints' stupid free agent moves, and I'm also going to have to drop him from my fantasy team.
Well, Dave writes an article, no shit is real.
I mean, we'll see. Here's the thing that concerns me.
Juge is wasted.
Juge is fucking wasted, and it's great. I hope this podcast is recording. I would say it's probably odds of it actually recording are probably less than 30%. Looking at everything right now. But we'll just.
Woo! What's up, motherfucker?
We'll have to see. Juge, what are the odds that the Saints play a hobo at corner this week?
It doesn't Sterling Moore qualify?
Sterling Moore. I mean,
what about Sterling Moore is not a hobo?
I mean, the Saints were down to Jesus Jones at running back at the end of 2000.
Right here, right now.
At the end of 2010.
I want to be.
I mean, he scored a touchdown in a playoff game, so that's pretty extreme as far as injuries go. But that took an entire year to get there. We're there 2 weeks in. I mean, Kevin, I can't remember the Saints ever just getting kicked in the balls at one spot of injuries this soon in a year. Can you go into your memory banks and think of something this catastrophic at one spot this early?
Ralph, I can't remember what I did over the weekend. I had somebody ask me today, hey, Kevin, how was your weekend? Oh, it was pretty good. Oh, what'd you do? Huh, what did I do? I don't know. I did some stuff. I didn't have a bad time, so it was a good time.
Talked about.
I mean, the last time I can remember corner being this decimated was 2009 when they brought in Chris McAllister and Mike McKenzie, and that was like week 10.
Yeah, but
and look what happened that year. And look what happened.
Super Bowl! Super Bowl! Yeah.
The Saints are better off with cornerbacks off the street than they are with
buy
the guys that they drafted.
Buy your tickets now.
Well, it helps. I mean, it helps if you have to quote the Butthole Surfers, the football player rapist.
Oh, Lord. I mean, Kevin, I mean, they started 0-2 in 2014.
I don't mind the sun sometimes.
Gibby, does it show?
They started 0-2 when they lost the nut kicker to Atlanta, and then they lost to the Browns. Is this start worse than that, like as far as the pain of the two games?
I think so, because the Raiders
are shit.
The Raiders were seemingly winnable because you're opening at home. Home opener. It's not like, I mean, you've had all offseason to get ready for this.
Seemingly.
A lot of adverbs.
The Falcons raped them at home.
Yeah. So that makes it even more of a dick kick.
It was a fucking and then you go on
the road to the Giants, and you're expecting, all right, Odell Beckham is going to challenge for that single game fucking receiving record. And they only hold him to 86 yards and 8 catches.
He had a massive drop that would have put him back 125.
The game, they kept the Giants to under 17. They kept the Giants to under 17, and they still found a way to lose that game.
Yep.
So you have the defense blowing it at home, and then you go on the road and you have the offense just gagging. Like no run support. Kobe Fleener is like
Jesus.
Kobe Fleener is dirt worse. You can't have run support if you don't run.
I mean,
how can you support something that doesn't happen?
It never happened, man. Listen to me. Listen to me when I tell you. Andrew, the thing that was so frustrating was that might be the best I've seen a Saints front seven play against the run in the Sean Payton era. Like, I can't, definitely in the last 3 years. Like, they were kicking the Giants' ass up front. Not
the,
with pass
the, the
rush
crazy
necessarily.
Thing is, yeah. Like, I don't think 64 yards on 32 carries even tells the story. It was unbelievable how the interior penetration, and yes, I just said that, Nick Fairley, Tyler Davison, both of them. Just, we haven't had defensive tackles play like that really in the Sean Payton era. For those two, and Rankins is out. We don't even have Rankins. And for Fairley and Davison to play like that, it was utterly dominant. The tackling, and I said this on Twitter, the tackling was the best I've seen in the Sean Payton era. I include 2009. The interior play, the safeties, the linebackers, Craig Robertson, unbelievable tackling.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How much is it sustainable? I feel like teams are just going to be like, all right, the Saints, they have a hobo and Mac corner quality. We're not even going to bother running the ball. We're just gonna take our 7-8 yards at a time, and we're gonna run a drive, and it's gonna be the Gary Gibbs defense all over again. Like it's just gonna be 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah, yeah. I think there will be games like that. I think there will be games where this is what this kind of defense dares you to do. It dares you to be very patient and accept 5, 6, 7 yard passes, where the corner gives you lots of cushion and then comes up to you and blows you up. And with three safeties, you can't really beat them deep. And but usually you're able to run on a defense like that. So I was a little surprised that the Giants struggled so much to run the ball. I think Atlanta is a team that runs the ball really well right now. You look at last year, this year, I think they'll run the ball pretty well on the Saints. But yeah, it forces you to be patient, and when you get in the red zone, you have to capitalize. And that's the thing. The Giants were in the red zone plenty of times in this game. They settled for field goals. They blew it on a turnover on downs. They had fumbles. So there were opportunities for the Giants to put up a lot of points in this game. Maybe more impressive than the bend, don't break factor for the Saints defense was the fact that when it came time to making a play, they did it every time.
I feel like they used up all their luck.
All right, Andrew, me and you, I think we're not going to come to blows because we're not in the same room, obviously, but we're going
to
fight.
We're going to come to blows.
We're going to fight about the kicker because you're drunk and I'm kind of drunk too.
Somebody's going to be blowing somebody.
I don't think.
Exactly.
I don't think the blocked kick was 100% Lutz's. I think it was like 30% his fault and 70% the fault of the line who collapsed. Like, I don't think.
Then we're not going to argue at all.
Oh, damn it. That's no fun.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, the protection was god-awful. It was terrible. But I think when you look at Lutz over the course of the last two games, the 20-yard field goal, way too low of a trajectory.
Yeah.
The tie, the kick that tied the game at 13 with 2:51 left.
I thought they
left.
Blocked it again. Didn't you?
Yes.
Didn't you?
The trajectory was way too low. Line drive. That's a problem moving forward.
It's like my golf game, man. Everything's fat. So, Kevin, Sean Payton said
yes.
Will Lutz is going to kick for the Saints a long time. When he meant a long time, uh-huh. Did he mean
week 7?
when
he said a long time, he meant past Zach Hocker.
How short is his leash held?
I think the fact that Payton came out publicly and put himself out there like, "Oh, great workout,
good looking,
great workout, best workout I've seen ever,
looking good,
ever,
crisp." He's Underhill's like he's hitting from 60. In warm-ups. Looking good.
In the wind. Yeah, so I think Payton is probably going to own this for a little bit.
Kevin, how over-under on Dear Stan jokes / tweets to Hartley, me and you are doing Monday night, is set at points.
I was thinking about doing it right now because he posted a goddamn video on his Facebook page. He's making field goals from angles that they don't even allow you to kick from.
They need to bring. Are we in favor of bringing back Hartley? They brought Andrew. They brought back Jari. They brought back Roman Harper. Bring back Hartley.
I mean, I'm in favor of Forbath. Look, here's my deal with kicker. I just think the timing is bad. And listen, I remember a game I went to when this was in the late, not mid to late 90s. And John Casey at the time was a rookie for the Seahawks, and he had a game winning kick against the Saints in the Superdome, which he missed. And then the Saints went down the field with Bobby Hebert, and Morton Anderson hit a game winner. And after the game, you know, they asked Morton Anderson, you know, he said, John Casey's going to be a great kicker in this league. And, you know, he just, first game, he had the jitters, he missed. And, you know, John Casey went on to have an amazing career with the Panthers.
He was
a great kicker. Yeah, and then he ended up kicking for the Saints late in his career, but Casey was a great kicker. And so, you know, the point I'm trying to make here is that I think early in kicker's career is like, if you see a guy that has a tremendous amount of potential, you make the investment. And so when you commit to a guy like that, you say, you know what? He's going to have issues the first 8 weeks of the season. And that just goes with a young kicker that has talent but doesn't have the experience. And over time, he'll build. My issue with it is the Saints aren't built right now to withstand issues at kicker.
Like they could in 2009 where they could like...
Right, let, right.
They could and carry, so they could carry two kickers.
If you were going to make an investment... Exactly. Yes.
Well, here's the thing, though, I will say for... Lutz that I really did like is that he faced the media after missing the 60-yard field goal against the Raiders. He took all the questions, and he faced the media yesterday after having the kick block, and he took responsibility. And also, too, Dave, he looked like he was done mentally after that block. Like he had that glazed over look on his face after the block, and I was like, "Oh my God! If they need him to make a kick in this game, they are fucked." And he sucked it up, and he made two kicks. So isn't that kind of good? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, look. I first of all, I hope Andrew's right, and I hope that this guy is Lutz is a long-term solution, and hopefully, he's part of the rebuilding. Even though we're not calling it rebuilding. But it's just a little concerning because kicking is so mental. I don't know if you guys read that Garrett Hartley article that he wrote about the life of a kicker and a free agent kicker. And we've heard it before, but like a lot of that shit is mental. And if something gets in your head, you can really get the yips. And the NFL is a what have you done for me lately work environment. It's tough. Ideally, you know, you want to see a guy like that just come out the box and come out of the gate and just start crushing it. And that way he's continues to build confidence and that momentum carries over into him, you know, continuing to be a great kicker. It's a lot harder when you start off like this and your offensive line isn't helping you at all because, you know, some of these aren't even your fault.
The protection is utter trash.
Well, yeah,
utter
I mean, trash. You know.
Kevin.
It's... That blocked field goal, I mean, I don't really think you can blame Lutz.
Kevin, the Saints, I know we just talked about the kicker and me and you love our Garrett Hartley duck blind deer stand jokes, but Kevin, the Saints special teams suck. And they suck for a long time. I mean, their return game is abysmal. They are a Thomas Morstead pulled hamstring from being high school quality.
Saint Paul's quality. Saint Paul's wool.
Kevin, what has to happen for Greg McManaman McMuffin or whatever his name is to get fired? Like the special teams are atrocious. Kevin, seriously.
Sean Payton has to get possession of the camera.
It's like the Hangover. McManaman or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I call him. McManaman.
Yeah.
But seriously, like, Andrew, their return game is... I mean, Tommy Lee, he's a great drummer, and he had a nice return yesterday for, like, 20 yards. But, like...
Big Pain, too.
But, like, their return game is abysmal. Like...
He was pretty good in The Fugitive, too.
Yeah, he was.
But, yeah.
He also has a huge dong. I was waiting for one of you got. I said he's got a nice peen, and y'all are like, oh, he's in The Fugitive. So I just got to come out and say it. The man has a huge penis, and he was driving a boat with his dog.
That's what Pamela Anderson said.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy Lee Lewis had the good punt return, but yeah, I thought Travaris Cadet did a poor job on kick returns. I thought Marcus Murphy, you know, the big kick return was right after the penalty on the last drive of the game against the Raiders. Tremendous opportunity to get good field position, and Marcus Murphy bobbled the return.
What did
CJ?
What did CJ Spiller? What did he do? Like, what did he do to piss? You can't tell me CJ Spiller is any worse at returning kicks or punts or whatever than what they got now, Dave. I mean, seriously.
No, hell. You could have kept C.J. Spiller and not used him as a running back and potentially just kept him as a kick returner, sort of like Courtney Roby, and given him a chance there. But, you know, whatever happened with C.J. Spiller, I don't think it had anything to do with
Spiller is looking like a better investment than Kobe Fleener.
Oh, my God, Kobe Fleener.
What's Courtney Roby up to?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll go around the horn, Kevin. Over under Kobe Fleener catches 38.5.
If he gets over 38.5, it'll be because the ball was thrown to him 127 times.
Dave, over under 38.5.
Over.
Andrew.
I mean, it's going to be one of those things with Fleener where he rebounds quickly and becomes a big part of this offense, or they're going to give up on him pretty quickly. So, I mean, it better, for $7 million a year, it better be over.
I mean, like, he had drops, and on the overthrow that Breeze did, and like, that was on Fleener. Like, Fleener, like, did, like, some sort of stutter step bullshit.
Yes.
And if he just runs,
not on Breeze.
If he just keeps running, dude, that's sick. And Breeze was like, I think Breeze was gonna murder him. Coming to sound like Breeze was like, I'm gonna kill you, dude.
You know, I have never seen. You know, I haven't seen Breeze as pissed as when Travaris Cadet, when he dropped that ball.
Oh yeah,
he kind of looked at his hands like, open your hands. I haven't seen him that pissed since once he played with Jeremy Shockey and Reggie Bush.
Oh, he was mad. He was. He was steaming today. He could have murdered them, and we wouldn't have convicted him. All right, this is a Twitter question. We'll get to Twitter questions later, but I love this one. Kevin, somebody on Twitter said, is it time to call Stephon Jean-Baptiste?
It was a great joke, and yes, I'm in favor of doing that.
Andrew, I mean, I know the media is like, well, Sean Payton says that the answer to guys not playing is always they use the guys that they think they have the best chance to win. Well, the follow-up question to that, media, is you picked the guy in the first round, and he played four freaking plays.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think if your defense produces, then you can justify a first round pick being on the bench. Similarly, if Stanley Jean-Baptiste is on the bench and your defense is producing, we've got no beef. When your defense sucks, then that's that points towards a terrible draft pick.
But if he's not playing and your defense is producing, is it time to get, like, what's the like, he played all last year, like, what's the difference?
Yeah. Well, I think the difference is and especially the first, and I'm going to say the first three teams, because they play the Falcons on Monday night, and the Falcons play a lot of three receiver sets. So I would not expect to see Anthony much in that game either. And the reality is, you know, in base situations, the Saints are a 4-3 defense, and Anthony's a starter. He is the strong side starting linebacker in that 4-3 scheme. The problem is, really, these first three teams are going to play, the Raiders, the Giants, and now the Falcons coming up. They all run nickel all day. I mean, three receiver sets almost exclusively. And so when they play the Panthers and the Chargers coming up after, or Chargers-Panthers after these three games, you'll see a lot more pro sets. And I think you'll see Anthony on the field a lot more. I just think the reality is last year, Anthony was a major liability in coverage. As fast as he is and as much potential as he has, he just wasn't good in coverage, couldn't do it. And right now they have Laurinaitis and Robertson, and there's no way that Anthony in nickel packages should be playing over those two guys. And that's really the reality that he's up against right now. And again, I think when they play teams that play more of these run formations, more pro personnel, you know, you'll see him later down in the season. So I think it's more just being patient and waiting to play the right personnel.
Dave, if they would ship him out for like 80 cents on the dollar, would Saints Twitter lose their fucking minds?
They could maybe package him with Fleener.
Well, if that's what I'm, if they traded Stephon Anthony,
ain't nobody taking that contract.
If they traded Stephon Anthony tomorrow to the Browns for a second round pick or something like that, would the fan base flip out?
No, actually, I think a lot of them might actually be happy for that. I mean, you're basically trading a first round pick for a second round pick. When currently, I think a lot of fans think that it's a wasted first round pick. So if they could get something like that for him, I think actually the fan base would be happy. They'd be disappointed that it's just another example of a complete misevaluation on talent, or it's terrible coaching, the Saints just don't have the right people to get
that is
what they need to get out of these guys.
That is possible, because Casillas was the Giants turned him into a pretty decent linebacker. Malcolm Jenkins is pretty decent. Is it fair to say that the Saints don't know what the fuck they're doing on defense? They can't evaluate players, and when they have good players, they can't maximize them?
They can't evaluate players in the draft, period. I mean, I don't think it was one of y'all, but it was definitely a tweet that I know I retweeted and, you know, got favorited a bunch of they've had what was it since the debacle of 2011 and how that ended, the Saints were 500 and they only have like what, 8 draft picks from the last 4 drafts.
It's worse than it was like from like 11, 12, 13 and 14. Like it was like 3 players, I want to say, like at, like when they purged all of 2014, it was bad from like 10, 11, 12, and 13. It was really bad, the bad drafts. And if you throw a fourth,
right.
I mean, but because we go into the draft and whatnot, I wanted to get to the Raiders looked like absolute trash again on defense. So, Andrew, my question to you is,
did you know that the Raiders are currently – they're like the new Saints.
They are.
You know, they have the first ranked offense and the last ranked defense.
And the thing is with the Raiders, they have a top 5 defensive talent with Khalil Mack on their team. The Saints don't have that. So, but here's my question, Andrew. Because the Raiders look like the new Saints on defense, should we be concerned that the first week was kind of a fraud? That everybody's just going to light up the Raiders like a Christmas tree, and it's kind of like inflation, like maybe the Saints offense isn't as good as we think it could be?
No, I don't think so, because when I look at some of the issues with protection, it really wasn't the front 5. I thought the offensive line played pretty well again. You know, when Zach Strief got injured, you know, there were some issues at right tackle, but you know, I saw on a blitz pickup, I saw Mark Ingram mess up, I saw Willie Sneed mess up, I saw Fleener have some issues. So it was more periphery, like extra blocker stuff. But I still think the offensive line is playing pretty well. And, you know, if you give Breeze time, I still think there's good weapons there. I think Fleener can have better games than he had. I still think he can be a productive part of this offense. And, you know, we know that Cooks, Sneed, and Michael Thomas can make an impact. So, you know, as long as the offensive line is playing well, I have hope for this offense. And to me, as bad as this game was for the Saints offensively, it wasn't a disaster up front. I still think that front 5 is playing pretty good ball.
Jarry Evans got some sweet PEDs. He did, because he's looking good. He's looking
he
like...
He is.
Kevin, all right, we're going to go to Twitter question.
I mean, it's just two games, but Evans looks the best he's looked in a couple of years.
Kevin, this is from Mark. This is a Twitter question. What was worse, losing to the Giants or knowing the Falcons beat the team we just lost to?
I'll go Falcons.
It's not going to matter because when we house them on Monday night, baby.
Andrew, this is also from Mark. Was I hallucinating, or did I really see Bird make some decent plays?
Jarris Bird, look, I gave him, you know, I do my player grades. I gave him a D- for the first game against the Raiders. I thought he was trash. Jarris Bird, I think I gave him a B+ in this game. He was very good. And look, I'm as big as anyone else on the bandwagon of wasted money, terrible investment. He was very good in this Giants game. And a lot of it was just, again, the game plan was very simple. It was allow the dink and dunk, let them get 6, 7, 8 yards, but come up and tackle well and give a devastating blow. And his tackling technique all game was perfect. It really was. I thought he delivered the tackles, delivered the blows, never let a guy get behind him. That's what you want your free safety to do. He didn't make the big plays and the interceptions. That's what they gave him all the money for. We still didn't see that, but I think you have to be happy overall. If Bird could play like that every week, we would take it.
This is from Nick Knack, Dave. What gets the Saints more wins, an all-pro clutch kicker or an injury-free second-tier corner?
Kicker.
I guess I would say a kicker only because, you know, the young cornerbacks that
I don't know, Randall
had to fill in.
A Randall Gay would look really good right now, I'm just saying. You know?
The young cornerbacks had to fill in
Forget everything that's happened on the periphery. The good offense, the bad offense, the god-awful fourth quarter defensively, the great defensive performance. Forget all of it. It all comes down to a missed 50-yard kick in the first game and then a missed 61-yarder at the buzzer. And in the second game, the blocked kick. And then, I mean, if the Saints have the best kicker in the NFL, I don't even know who that is at this point.
They'd be one.
If they have the best kicker, they're probably 2-0.
Yeah. And Andrew, what one midseason trade would transform this team without simultaneously killing its future irreparably?
I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, I think this is the mark of a bad team when you lose in different ways in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're close. This team is close. But, you know, if it was the same thing, then it would be easy to point to they need a corner or they need a running back or they need a guard or whatever. I think there are a number of issues on this team that rear their ugly heads at different times in each game. And the bottom line is there is too much lack of consistency in many places on this roster that there's going to be different things that cause them issues throughout the season.
Yeah.
There's no one thing that fixes them.
But I'll tell you what, if Cleveland would call up the Saints and be like, look, we'll give you Joe Hayden for Stephon Anthony and a number 3, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah.
But here's, Kevin, what's worse for the Saints, Jason David / Brandon Browner level corners or Cadet Coleman dropping 650 passes? It felt like that yesterday.
The defense, because some of the, like that, On Twitter, everybody lost their shit on one particular pass, and there were a few guys. Oh God, what was it? Brian and Nola, I think, on Twitter, who was the voice of reason or tried to be, and he was like, "Guys, they should have called a defensive pass interference call on that." Like the guy was
the second one. Yes,
your boy was getting snatched at the arm, and y'all are expecting him to make some spectacular one arm grab. Yeah. Like that shit. Those one-arm grab highlight catches,
They don't happen every goddamn week. That's something that you get maybe once a season from a player or shit from a team. Yeah. Usually.
Yeah,
we used to get two or three from Jimmy Graham a season.
For me, the most inexcusable.
Well, he played basketball, you know.
Listen,
Brandon Coleman
missing those two catches was, I mean, they would have been circus catches. And as much hate as Brandon Coleman's getting for the penalties, you know, if you want to hate him for the blocking, fine. But the drops, listen, those were impossible catches. And he almost came up with them. For me, you go back, I mean, the one drop that killed the Saints.
Cadet
was on the. It was either the opening drive or the second drive of the game.
Fleener
deep ball, one on one. Fleener down the sideline. It hits him right in the hands, and he doesn't produce. And again, you're spending $7 million a year for that guy to be one on one with strong safeties who don't cover that well. He's got the size. He's got the hands. He's supposed to come up with that ball, and he doesn't. And if he can't win those matchups and he can't come up with that ball,
sad trombone.
I mean, this offense can't work.
Have we sold our souls to the devil for the Lombardi and now we're paying the price? Yes, Jerry, we are.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And by soul, draft picks. Nothing but draft picks.
But if that's really what it is, then it was worth it, right?
Kevin, who's a bigger pussy, Jimmy Graham or Kobe?
Let's not forget
Fleener?
About the dead money.
The bonfire of dead money. Who's a bigger pussy, Kevin, Jimmy Graham or Kobe Fleener?
Huh.
What did Jimmy Graham do yesterday?
He did nothing because Seattle's offensive line has fallen completely fucking apart without Max Unger.
So let me ask you a question.
And Jari Evans.
Yeah, well, that was my question. So we're sitting here talking about how Jari Evans is playing better than he's played in the last few years, and he couldn't even make Seattle. What does that mean? What does that make the Saints' offensive line? If we're starting a guy who couldn't even make a shitty offensive line.
The reason they didn't keep Jari Evans was because they weren't going to keep him as a backup. He was either going to start, or they were going to cut him loose and give him a chance to start elsewhere. And they had this.
Why wouldn't they keep him as a backup? If he's good enough to start for another team, he should be a pretty good backup then, no?
Yes, but I think it's then if you're not going to start, they'd rather just keep the young guys and develop them.
Okay, I hear you.
Which is what teams do. But anyway, they had a Fetty who, by all accounts, Sean Payton really liked him coming up in the draft. And right after they cut Jari Evans, a Fetty had a high ankle sprain. And so the timing of the whole Saints bringing back Jari was huge because, you know, if he hadn't signed with the Saints at that point, you know, 2 days later, Seattle probably would have brought him back based on what happened to Fett.
Yeah, Saints were just lucky as crap.
God doesn't hate the Saints.
Why is Brandon Coleman in the NFL?
He hates Saints corners, though.
Why on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointing is Fleener? He's like an 8, I think, right about now.
10.
Kevin, this is a political question, so I'll go this one. This
one game. He's got one game.
This is from Anthony. I just realized the first debate.
Stephon Anthony?
I just realized the first debate is on the same time as the Saints game. What do I do? What do you do, man? You got
I saw that on Twitter, and I already had the answer when I was driving home. You watch the game. Well, actually, I tell you what. My response is, where do you live? If you live in Louisiana, you watch the game because you'll see the debate highlights the next day, and you could probably rewatch the debate if you wanted
to put it
on YouTube.
If you're in a, I mean,
because only watch. Here's the thing, Louisiana is going Trump. Like there are literally all but 8 states, maybe 9, are decided.
Yeah.
If you are a Saints fan and you live in any of the non-battleground states, watch the game until it gets out of hand, and then if you want, change the channel to the debate, and then get the noose ready to hang yourself.
Well, I mean, you can DVR the debate. Here's the thing, though: you only need to watch the debate if you haven't made up your mind.
Well, wait. That's my question. My friend told me a month ago that the debate was going to be on the same night as the Falcons game, and that was my immediate thought. Is like, what does it matter? Why do you need to watch the debate? Are there still people in this country who haven't made up their mind? There has never been an election with two polarizing, two polar opposite people. It blows my mind that there's people who are still on the fence about one of these two idiots.
Dave, are you? I would like to introduce you to the average American voter.
I try to stay away from those people.
Exactly.
Dave lives in a gated community. He avoids the plebs.
Yeah. Well, that's why I avoid fast food restaurants.
Let's see. I think that's all the questions we have. Let's get to game predictions. Kevin, I'll start with you. Saints Falcons. Saints are a. Let's see. They are a. Let me do a search here.
You're looking for the points?
I'm looking for the
spread.
I think I saw it, and I want to say it's like Saints 3.5. It is Saints by 3. Total of 54.
Home field advantage.
Yeah, basically.
Saints by 3. Okay, so it's the home field. God. This is going to be a close one. I'm leaning hard on this one. My head tells me otherwise. Screw it. I'm leaning hard. So I'll say.
Now remember, this is the 10-year anniversary of Steve Gleason's black punt in the opening of the Superdome. We're gonna be fired up in there.
You may have to set fire to things of Atlantis. I was almost going to tell you to light somebody on fire, but that might have been a little too much, but whatever. 20-13.
That's low scoring. Dave?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
I think the Saints are finally going to rebound. The offense usually plays well at home. We'll see about the defense, but hopefully Dennis Allen comes out with the same game plan for Julio Jones that he came out with for ODB. And like I said, I think people are going to be fired up because I'm sure they're going to do something for the 10th anniversary of the opening of the Dome and Gleason's block punt. So I'm going to go with Saints 32, Falcons 20.
Andrew.
I think it's going to be close. I think so much about football is emotion. I think so much about football is playing with passion, and I think it'll be one of those moments with Gleason in the building, hopefully, and just the commemoration of the moment. And that seems – anytime there's something like that in the Superdome, it seems to always carry the Saints. There's some, like, transcendent thing where – when there's meaning and it's under the lights and it's Monday night, or
when was the last time they won a Monday? When was the last time they won a Monday night game?
The Saints
at home, yeah. They got house.
I don't know. I feel like their primetime record under Sean Payton is excellent.
Not lately, though. They got housed by Detroit last year. They beat Atlanta on a Thursday night. And then in 2014, they got housed by Baltimore on Monday night.
There was a Halloween game against the Steelers.
That's a long time. That's 2010, buddy. That's a long time ago.
Like, that was when Darren Sharper was a free man.
Oh, God.
So give me a score, Andrew.
No, I think the Saints win this game. They own the Falcons. I do. Matt Ryan, surprisingly, has a 120.1 QB rating so far.
Yeah,
he's played very well. I think he's going to give the Saints secondary some trouble. I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Saints come out on top. The offense will bounce back, play well. 34-31 Saints. I think they finally win a close one.
Kevin hung up. Kevin hung up like a fool, and I'm telling him not to call back because I don't want to fuck up the audio. We've had enough issues. I'm going to say, look, uh, I just texted him. God damn it, hell, don't call back. I'm going to say, look, the script for the Saints the last 2 years is lose close, get blown out. Everybody's like, it's hopeless. They're going to be a disaster. And then they play really well. They're going to get hammered by the Falcons, and everybody's going to be down in the dumps. San Diego's going to beat whoever they're playing, and people are like, they're going to go to San Diego. They're never going to beat San Diego. They're going to look good next week in San Diego, but Atlanta's going to beat them because Drew Brees hadn't thrown an interception in like 250 passes. He's due to throw a couple. Falcons 35-23. And
Jesus, Ralph, you're a sick human being.
I am a sick human being. So Kevin is gone, so we can't get a Tinder Madison Farmer's Almanac update. So that wraps
Farmer's Almanac.
That wraps it up for tonight. So for Kevin, who already hit eject, for Dave, go to Canal Street Chronicles and read Dave. He actually has an article up. Go to Saints Nation and read Andrew's grades. Until next week, the bar is closed. Jesus, I hope it's recorded.